Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome back to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me here in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, or about social justice. Today, my visitor is Louise Campbell. Louise, a warm welcome to our radio program.
Thank you, Beate.
Louise Campbell is the director of the National Liturgy Office, appointed by the New Zealand Catholic Bishops' Conference. She is also on the Auckland Diocesan Commission for Ecumenism and Interfaith Relations, and the Catholic representative on the Auckland Interfaith Council. I have invited Louise to the studio to tell us more about this work with people of different faiths. Louise, you are very involved in the Catholic Church. You are the director of the National Liturgy Office, and within this role, you assist the bishops in the development of liturgical policies and resources. You are certainly a person who knows the Catholic Church very well. Yet you are looking outside the frame of your own faith and get involved with people of other faiths. What calls you to do this?
Well, Beate, I was really interested in your little phrase there. You're looking outside the frame of your own faith. And a frame for me is something you can look out from as well as look back into. Mm-hmm. And it's the looking back into the frame of my own faith where I find that gospel imperative from Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That we are to, as his followers, know that he wants everyone to be one.
Okay, there's no outside and inside.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think they can both be part of that oneness, unity and diversity, as we talk about. But I think it is a gift. It's a gift from the Church, one of the many gifts that came out of our Second Vatican Council. And it's really an imperative on all of us to take up this mission to find out where unity can be sought and how the different gifts from the different religious traditions can be honoured, respected, and they can enrich each other. So it's both an inside frame and an outside frame. There's a moving to and from with great respect and dignity.
I think that's important, with great respect and dignity also. And people often confuse interfaith and interreligion and ecumenism. Could you tell us what the difference between these terms is?
Well, three very interesting terms you've got there. I'll start with the last first.
Okay.
Ecumenism, for me, really is Christians talking to Christians. Mm-hmm. It's, I suppose, we're in a professional sense, that may be one of the ways we apply that. Then interreligion historically has been talking about the major religious traditions talking to each other. For instance, the Jewish, Christian, Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist traditions. But this word interfaith is perhaps a newer word and one that's increasingly coming into favour. So sometimes interreligion and interfaith are being used interchangeably. But yeah, for me, that word interfaith is widely embracing. It's embracing all the major religious traditions, as well as the many religious movements, particularly those that have emerged in more recent years. For here in New Zealand, I suppose the Baha'i movement has been a newer religious tradition that has come into our knowledge and yes, association. Hare Krishna, the Sri Chinmoy meditation movement, all of these groups make wonderful contributions to interfaith dialogue.
Oh, yeah. That's what you said, this diversity.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
And as I mentioned earlier, you are on the Commission for Ecumenism and Interfaith Relations. Who started this commission and what was the goal?
Well, this is a commission that's been set up by the Catholic Diocese of Auckland, and it was initiated by Bishop Pat Dunn, sort of in the early 2000s, mm-hmm, sort of 2002 perhaps, 2003, yeah, somewhere about that time. And what he was doing was recognising once again that the universal mission of the Church is to embrace religious traditions, to dialogue with each other while standing our own ground, keeping our own faith, but being in dialogue and seeing what elements of unity we can strive for. And it's important that something that's held so far away as Rome actually comes home to the local church. And so he was looking for a group of people who would help him, who would also help him with research, as well as take forward his own ideas to enrich the local community with engagement between different religious traditions. And then, of course, in very recent years, we are aware of the increasing diversity of people now living in Auckland, and that's brought us to greater awareness of the multi-faith traditions that have come with these people, and dialogue is needed there as well. So what began perhaps as a commission for ecumenism needed to open its arms and become a commission for ecumenism and interfaith.
It's not just multicultural, but it's multi-faith.
Yes.
We have a multi-faith society in Auckland especially.
That is right. We certainly do. Perhaps here more than any other
place
other
in
city.
New Zealand.
Yes.
And who are the members what is their faith connection, the members of this commission?
Well, the current members of the commission are some lay people. We have a religious, a woman religious. We have two ordained people, an ordained deacon and an ordained priest. Each one of these people are involved strongly in church work of some form or another, mm-hmm. but make time to come together to see what they can do here in the realm of ecumenism and also interfaith relations.
So you also have a kind of diversity. They're all standing on the same ground. They're all involved in the Catholic Church in some kind of ministry, but they come together and look together at what can be done to reach out also.
Yes, I think that's a wonderful way of putting it. You said it better than I did. I suppose one of the interesting factors for this group is that they host the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity in Auckland City, so once a year. And that's, again, something that's come from as far away as Rome.
Yes.
And the World Council of Churches, the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity. Uh-huh. And every year a different country gathers together members from a different Christian faith traditions to pray, usually for a purpose that's particular to that country. So when this year it came from Canada, and some of the things they were talking about and praying about in this year of prayer was for global partnership, international solidarity, combating major diseases, you know, becoming aware of the crisis with our planet and the climate and things like that. So it's just a really good connection, because we're probably not so aware of things that are happening in Canada that need prayer, that need solidarity, and this is one of the ways in which we make that happen.
Yeah, you open your doors to other groups that have similar interests, the same interests, but you have a wider view.
And you recognise how much we are the same, as well as how much we are different, and how much our needs and strivings and prayers
yes.
are directed in similar areas.
Mm. And how many people do you think are actively involved in interfaith relations in Auckland and in New Zealand?
Well, that's a question and a half. Well, our own commission would have 5 to 8 members,
yes.
but it also offers like these prayer opportunities. For instance, the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, that would have to engage with several hundred people
mm-hmm.
in Auckland. Now, you take our 6 dioceses and multiply that and out it goes. So it's like little seeds keep being shared somewhere and scattered and taken up, and really don't know just how many people you're reaching
yes.
or for what purpose. The Auckland Interfaith Council that I am a member of put on a movie a couple of years ago of Gods and of Men.
Yes, I've seen that.
It's an amazing movie. Well, over 200 people came to that meeting,
yes.
where at other times it might only be 30 or 40. So there's like people who are a constant core group, but you never know who's going to hear or respond to an invitation in that wider community as well. And, you know, it's not just the work of churches. It's the work of the Human Rights Commission. So we never work in isolation. So when you say about interfaith and how many people are engaged, it's not just church work. It's also civil work, secular work as well. And we're all engaging with one another in different opportunities at different times.
Yeah. And I understand that Pope Francis is a strong supporter of the interfaith dialogue. When he was in the Holy Land, he had invited a Jewish rabbi and an Islamic leader, and they planted olive trees together, symbols of peace. Is this interest in interfaith dialogue something new for the Catholic Church?
No, it's not. And Pope Francis copied Auckland. We got in first.
Really?
Really, we did. In November in 2011, we had an interfaith anniversary that was celebrated at the cathedral. It was the 25th year since Pope John Paul II had gathered religious leaders in Assisi to plead for peace in our world. So on that 25th anniversary, we invited leaders of the different local churches to come together. And as part of that event, each leader was presented with a tree and asked to take it home and plant it in a significant place for the religious community, water it, watch it grow in the name of interfaith and peace and growing relationships. So I think Pope Francis might have heard about that.
From the other side of the world.
Why not?
Okay. For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you missed any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or send me a mail at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Louise Campbell. Louise has explained to us what the difference between interfaith and interreligion was and what motivates her to work together with people of other faiths. She explained to us that ecumenism was Christians talking to Christians. Interreligion is more about a major religions talking to each other. Interfaith is widely embracing. And the Catholic Diocese of Auckland has an interfaith committee. It's called the Commission for Ecumenism and Interfaith Relations that was set up by Bishop Pat in the beginning of the year 2000, 2002 or something around that time. And the members are laypersons and religious and ordained, an ordained priest, an ordained deacon, and all. And these five, six people, they meet regularly and they try to support Bishop Pat and the diocese in recognizing the universal wealth of religions, to embrace dialogue between different religions and within the different Christian denominations, and striving for unity while at the same time standing on their own ground. And one of the events, as we might call it, is once a year the Week of Prayer. And this year we had the Week of Prayer from Canada. It comes from a different country every year. And it was about combating diseases. And this also widens our horizon. And what I think is very important is that interfaith is connected to the Human Rights Commission. So it's not just people who are interested in faith and religion, but also people who have other concerns that that are important for all of us in the world. Louise, you are the Catholic representative on the Auckland Interfaith Council. Can you tell me what is the most challenging part of this role?
Well, big smile. What is not a challenging part of this role? Firstly, it is a privilege to be the Catholic representative on that interfaith council. And it's been quite a journey for me to recognize how to approach people in a way that's both culturally and religiously appropriate, how to interact, how to learn to pray in the presence of each other in this kind of way. It's about questioning myself, what kind of gospel witness am I giving? Am I reflecting the teaching of the church and the way I respond around the table at meetings? So big questions, big challenges. Also learning to deal with my own ignorance. You know, there is so much to learn about other people, their yes. faith traditions, the things they value. And the challenges, too, of seeing people from a different faith. Well, perhaps an example is Ramadan now. And I look at my Muslim brothers and sisters and the seriousness with which they are taking on their fasting.
Yes.
And I look at myself and I think of Lent.
Yes.
And I ask, how seriously do I take my fasting during Lent? And I am challenged. So, the fruit of this kind of experience is wonderful. Mm-hmm. So long as you take up the challenge and do something yes. about it.
New Zealand Interfaith Group says on its website that it welcomes you in the spirit of understanding and cooperation between all of the faiths in Aotearoa, New Zealand. How many different faiths follow this invitation and participate in events and meetings regularly?
Well, I think the answer will differ a little from place to place, city mm-hmm. to city. I'm very aware of the Jewish community, of Christians, Muslims, Hindu, Buddhist, Sikh, mm-hmm. Quaker, Christian Science, Baha'i, Hare Krishna. These are groups and faith, people of faith traditions that often respond to invitations to gather.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be the ones I'm most familiar with, but I am very sure there are other faith traditions that are well represented perhaps in other cities and still outside my experience, which I still feel is quite limited.
But you've been to this National Interfaith Forum end of June, which took place in Dunedin. And the theme was unity in diversity. You already mentioned that expression, unity in diversity. So how did you explore this unity in diversity during this forum?
Well, we met and were hosted most generously by the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints.
Yes.
So for some people, it was the first time they had been inside a building that is owned by this church. We were fed. The whole conference was catered for by the Hare Krishnas. The morning teas and afternoon teas were offered by other groups as well. Our superintendent, our keynote speaker was the superintendent minister for the Methodist Church in England. We experienced it through the different dress of different members from different faith communities. In the words that were used in the readings and prayers that were gathered, in the workshops that were offered from a perspective of different faith traditions, there wasn't really any element that wasn't in some way, shape or form engaging us in unity and diversity.
So it went through the whole forum and everything.
Yes, well, just that gather us together and already yes. there's unity and diversity.
These forums were organized also by a group of different faiths. As you said, the location was, you were hosted by the Church of Latter-day Saints, and then you had the Methodist keynote speaker, and each religion or each faith had its role, or some, at least some.
Yes, I think at least some. The Dunedin Forum was hosted and prepared wonderfully well by what is called the Dunedin Abrahamic Group. So they're just a very new group. They've only been functioning about 1 or 2 years at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And the key members are from the Jewish community, the Christian community and the Muslim community. But they themselves are networking within that wider framework of groups behind each one of their own faith traditions as well as out further in the community. So they drew on other people and connections in that network to help them do this, but the work was basically quite a small group. And other forums, which have been held every 1 or 2 years for about 10 years now, have at each time been hosted by a local committee. Wellington, Waikato and Auckland have been the three, but now Palmerston North is able to perhaps take that on. They may, just may, offer the next forum. We're waiting to hear from them. So slowly, it's spreading.
It's spreading. That's good.
Slowly.
And with so many people of different ethnic and religious backgrounds being present, there was certainly the diversity, not only regarding the mother tongues. How was the overall atmosphere?
I would have to say it was one of the meetings I have been that I have ever felt at such ease. You know, I suppose there's always a little bit of nervousness going into such a diverse community of people. Well, there just was no need for any of that. Just the there was a sense of harmony. Mm-hmm. There was a sense of openness, willingness. You could just turn to the person next to you, or you could sit down at a table without hesitation. There was just a beautiful spirit of harmony and openness that I have seldom experienced anywhere else.
That sounds great. And with so many conflicts and wars in many countries in the world at the moment, many of them fought in the name of religion. Do you think that these kind of gatherings and occasions for better understanding of each other will contribute to more peace in the world?
It has to. I think this is really beginning at home, person to person, neighbour to neighbour. If we can learn to trust, communicate, build dialogue, join together in common action, and that's what all this interfaith movement is really aiming for, is to join together, to collaborate, to give witness to what is possible in a peaceful way, to create peace, to celebrate peace, to call for peace and show other people who aren't there yet, who are sort of busy looking to war and terrorism and things like that, there is another way.
To get to know that we're all brothers and sisters.
Yes.
I think that's very important. So this is certainly one of the outcomes of the forum.
Yes, there was a public statement made that has been issued as well from the National Interfaith Forum, and it I'm not sure how you're going for time, but there is a few sentences here, yeah, which is the official statement.
Yes,
would you like me to share that? This is the official statement from the National Interfaith Forum of Dunedin 2014. Members from a diverse range of faiths and beliefs came together over 3 days to deepen our mutual understanding, respect and cooperation, and celebrate our unity and diversity. Representatives of regional interfaith groups throughout New Zealand participate. We wish to state our continuing commitment to deepening open and honest relations between people and acknowledging the innate humanity and dignity of people of all faiths and none. The group endorsed the development of a religious and cultural diversity education program for New Zealand schools. Mm-hmm. We reiterate the principles of the statement on religious diversity in Aotearoa, New Zealand, first endorsed by the National Interfaith Forum of 2007. In this year, we call on all political parties to place at their heart the strengthening of community and the building of a compassionate, inclusive, just and sustainable nation.
That's just, yes, beautiful. Thank you, Louise, for all this information, for the information on interfaith relations and on creating awareness for more openness to others, no matter what background or religion or faith. Pope Francis invites us to foster friendship and respect between men and women of different religious traditions. And the interfaith work is certainly a very first step towards friendship and peace in the world. Thank you, Louise.
Thank you, Beate.
Let me draw your attention to some further events that are coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center. Today, Friday, the 1st of August, and tomorrow, 2nd of August, we'll have an introduction to dream work with Margaret Bowater. This will be a practical seminar which will explain how, when and why we dream. And it then on the Friday, the 8th of August and Saturday, the 9th of August, Alexander Shire offers a retreat with a topic, Walking the Four-Path Christ Journey. Alexander Shire was my guest in the studio at the beginning of June. If you'd like to listen to our conversation on the radio, you can do so by going on the website of Radio FM 104.6 at www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk and check out the archived interviews. And if you're thinking of doing a retreat in our center, we have several retreat days and weeks throughout the year. For all retreats, please have a look at our website or give us a call at Auckland 09-638-6238. And if you'd like to stay the night in our center or come for an individual silent retreat, you're most welcome. Please get in touch with us and register. For any feedback on my interviews, please contact me at muffintalk840@gmail.com. And if you miss any of our programs, please check out the website www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk. And I wish you all a very blessed day. Thank you.